Following recording is copyright 2012 Catholic Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
Most of us grew up thinking of God with imagery that very closely resembled what our own natural fathers were like. Most people who have a positive image of God had a positive relationship with their own father. And if you have a problematic or conflicted or ambivalent image of God, it may be that you had had also a troubled relationship with your father. My father was and is the best father in my hometown. Some of you probably think of your own father in just that same way. My father didn't just teach us right from wrong. He modeled for us the behavior and values in which he believed and which, out of love, he wanted for us. He was a man of prayer, never missed Mass, and he spent time in private prayer every day. He treats my mother with the love and tenderness and respect she deserves, which is a lot. And he expects us to do the same. And in fact, there were very clear consequences if we did not show our mother the respect she deserved. You learn one way or another. He was a man of personal integrity, of wisdom, patience, and self-sacrifice. And just like the God he introduced me to so many years ago, and in whom I too have come to believe, always present. Even when he had to travel on business, there was always a daily phone call and the certainty that he would come right home if he were needed, including if we had been misbehaving. My father trusted in God's providence, even as he was for us an instrument of God's providence. And he took this responsibility very seriously. He had high standards for us, but they were achievable and they were age appropriate. His job was to oversee our growth. He didn't simply sire us and leave the rest to mom. He guided us where we needed to go. He steered us away from dangers and bad influences. And he was wise enough to see dangers to which we children were naive. He made it unmistakably clear that bad behavior was not an option. And so if a reasoned appeal to our intellect didn't seem to register, there were other disincentives that would come into play, for which I'm also very grateful. All seven of us kids have grown up to be adults that any parent would be proud of. And one reason is that we have a father and a mother of whom any child would be proud. Another reason is that from an early age, they fostered in us a living relationship with our Heavenly Father, from whom all parenthood derives, and to whom they knew they would one day have to give an account. Our gospel today contains the parable of the mustard seed. What was once very small grows into something very large. And Jesus applies this image to the reign of God. And indeed, that small circle of 12 apostles has grown into a billion member church. There are more members of the church today than there were people living in the time of Jesus. God the Father, the first person of the Blessed Trinity, is the father of all humanity, the one who brought the physical world into existence. In an analogous way, Jesus is the father of the church, the one who brought the church into existence. Like any father, Jesus didn't just teach us right from wrong, he also modeled for us the behaviors and values for which he stands, and which out of love he wants for us. Holiness, love, integrity, wisdom, patience, and above all, self-sacrifice. He is always present. Even after his ascension into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us always. And so Jesus continues to oversee the growth of that tiny mustard seed he planted 2,000 years ago in Israel, and which he planted more recently in each one of us personally, the day of our baptism. He didn't just launch the church and then leave the rest to us. He continues to steer us where we need to go, away from dangers, even those to which we are naive. His voice in our private consciences and his voice in the public teaching of the church makes it unmistakably clear that remaining in sin is not an acceptable option. And if an appeal to our conscience doesn't register, Jesus has other disincentives that he can cause to come into play, for which we also should be grateful. He wants us to be the kind of people that he can present with pride to his and our Heavenly Father on that day of judgment when we will all be called to give account. On this Father's Day, we remember especially our fathers. We pray for them. We thank God for them. Like that mustard seed, we who once were very small have now grown large. And in most cases, we already have the next generation taking shelter in our branches. We also thank God for 20 centuries of forefathers and foremothers in the faith who in every single generation planted that mustard seed of faith and then looked after its growth generation after generation for 20 centuries. We pray daily for our Heavenly Father to bring his kingdom into full existence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then in the very next line, we describe the life's work of a faithful father or mother. Thy will be done. Not my will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My parents have faithfully done their part to bring God's kingdom into fuller existence. And many of your parents have done the same. Now it's our turn to raise up the next generation. God grant that in our care, they too will grow to become adults that God will be proud of. If we want to be the kind of parents any child would be proud of, the first step is to foster in ourselves and then in them a living relationship with our Heavenly Father, from whom all parenthood derives. Happy Father's Day.